Thank you for that special. Our brother who's going to speak to us tonight is no stranger. I have known him for many years, and yet I don't know him because I haven't been around him that much, even though I have known him for a good number of years. And I know that he has traveled many miles from where he lives to be here tonight with a word that the Lord has given him to bring to us. And I would ask that each one of you give your kind attention to our brother as he speaks to us this night. And I give to you our brother Jeff Oldham.
Thank you, brother. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to stand in front of you. I would ask for an interest in your prayers. I have, I'd say, a lot of thoughts on my mind, a lot of things that I want to share. I'm sure as each of you can relate to, as brothers, as you've stood behind this pulpit, you start off with a plan or a direction and ideas, and no doubt those plans and ideas change. But, you know, I want to kind of start off with, I appreciate the song that Katie and Braden sang. You know, somebody has, you know, as I look at those two and as I hear them sing, as I've heard others that just have a real talent and to sing, you know, I look at that and I see that the enjoyment that they have out of that, ultimately that passion that they have out of that. And my hope is, and I think it's appropriate as you think about that, in the message that I have tonight, and hopefully that passion that we have for Jesus Christ, that conveys in our life, and it conveys, truly represents who we are. That passion that we have for our Heavenly Father, for this church, and for the responsibility that we have in this. Turn with me to Joshua, and I want to start in Joshua, and then I want to get into some comments that I have, and some thoughts that I want to share as I get into the message. Joshua, the first chapter, I'm going to start it, and I'm going to read from the first through the ninth verse. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I had said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. My mom, this year for Christmas, gave me a coffee mug, and on it had this verse, and I was sitting at work a day after Christmas, and had my mug there with me, and I was looking at that, and I was thinking about that verse. I was thinking about this verse, you know, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And as I think about that, you know, really it takes my thoughts a lot of directions. One direction, you know, I thought about, and many of you have probably seen that there's a movie out right now called Exodus, and I'm not going to get into that movie, and I'm not here to talk about that movie, but you think about it, it at least seeing it advertised has spurred some of those thoughts. I went back, and I was looking online on our church website, and our brother Glenn has an extremely extensive study on Exodus. And again, I'm not here to talk specifically about that, but it made me think, and it made me think of the plight of the Israelites and the pain and what they had to endure as slaves and the plagues that they suffered. And then their trek for 40 years. And Joshua, the 5th chapter, the 6th verse, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. So as you think about those verses, as you think about in Joshua in the 1st chapter where I read, or in Joshua here in the 5th chapter where I read, what does that mean for us today? As you think about that verse, you know, it says, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And I'll tell you, and maybe to kind of cut to the chase of where I'm going to go here this evening. Many years ago, my Uncle Frank, I remember him delivering a sermon one New Year's, you know, he kind of used it as an opportunity to step back and get us to reflect on the year that we've been through, get us to reflect on where are we spiritually, where is our strength, what are we calling upon, and also then to reflect on what is in front of us. Now, I'm not one to really set goals. I'm not a big goals person. And there were some of us brethren in Independence that recently were working on a project for the church. And we challenged ourselves to kind of step back and first start off with, what is the mission? What is the purpose that we are trying to accomplish? What is the purpose of this specific project that we were diving into? And I had to start thinking about, even in my own spiritual life, what is my purpose? What is the reason of why I'm here, or why each of one of us are here? And I go back and I think about this song that Katie and Braden sang, not the song specifically, but are we doing those things that we are passionate about? Are we passionate about the service that we are to perform? Are we passionate about our Heavenly Father, of whom we're asking for His guidance and direction? Are we truly passionate about what we believe and what we're standing for? Turn with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter. I'm going to start in the 3rd verse, Matthew, the 5th chapter. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, and there's several things that really stand out in those verses, and I could go in a lot of different directions, I feel. But I'm going to focus on that last bit, that ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that ye may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, I have a funny example of this, and some of you have seen in my job. I have a company truck, and on that company truck is the logo of my company. And at first, when I first moved into this role and took over this organization, I didn't have my logo on the side of my vehicle. I am one of these people that I don't really like wearing the logo shirt that says, you know, my company name on it. I don't know why. You know, I'm not one to sit there and really enjoy having the logo of my company on the side of my truck. I really don't know why. And as I thought about it, you know, I was asking my employees, the vehicles that you're driving, it's going to have the company logo on it. And so I kind of changed my philosophy there a little bit, and I put the logo of my company on the side of the truck. And it's been really interesting. My business, I'm in an agricultural business, and I drive around the countryside a lot, and people know in that area, they know of our business. And they know who we are, and kind of like Michelle and I experienced when we first moved to a little tiny town in Iowa, everybody knew us before we knew anybody. And so as I look at this, and I've got my company logo on the side of my truck, I'm a fast driver. I like to go from point A to point B really quickly because I don't have time. And I noticed that there were times that I was passing people. I know passing customers. I know passing people and employees and things like that. And it started to kind of drive towards and reinforce to me is, what is that message that I'm sending? You know, what is that message? And in fact, I had an employee of ours was going from one of our locations to another facility, and she passed by a customer, and that customer followed her to our dealership, went in, and I just happened to be there that day, and complained to me about how one of our employees was driving. And frankly, that could have been me. And I ask you, as you think about this, and as you think about these two verses, really, the one back in Joshua in the ninth verse, or the first chapter in the ninth verse, you know, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Think about that. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, individually as a person, you know, as I think about what is that message that I'm sending, whether it's the message that I'm sending to my employees, whether it's the message that I'm sending to people in our communities, or that message that I'm sending to my children, or that message that I'm sending to my brothers and sisters. You know, I worry about that and I think about that more and more. And I'll be honest. I had a dream many years ago, not anything that I've shared with anyone, and I'm not going to go into all the details. But you know, as a person, you know, my own human weakness, I'm one that I worry about probably too much about what maybe other people think or what someone is going to perceive of me. And in this dream that I have, I remember that I was up on and I don't know exactly where I was, but I was in a large city, a large area, and I remember of what I can remember of this dream, and I don't remember faces or people that were with me, but there was a large group of people that was with me of what I remember as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that there was a large group of people coming up on us, and people that meant ill will against us. And I remember standing there in between these two groups. And you know, for me, it was that decision, and it was that decision that I had to make. Am I following and serving after Christ, or am I following and serving after someone else? And I think in us, you know, I know that in the world we live in, you know, the challenges and the trials and the temptations. I think of the kids. I think of the challenges that they face. You know, our kids deal with things that I didn't deal with as a young person. It's very different. Now, there are similar things, peer pressure, right? It's intense, whether you're you know, whether you're you were young many years ago or whether you're young today. But there's so many different things that our kids face. And I worry about that, you know, my own personal life. You know, what is that message that I'm sending? What message am I conveying? Am I letting my light so shine before men that they may see my good works? I find it sometimes, you know, my wife says I'm horrible to travel with. I walk into an airport, and I like to be the first one on the plane. I want to make sure I get my bag up there, so I like that. I like to be the first person in line, that I'm going to go through that line. My wife gets really frustrated at me. And the, you know, ultimately the conversation that we've had around that is ultimately, you know, what message am I sending to others? That I'm going to make sure that I'm going to get up in the front of that line so that I'm going through there quickly, conveniently, without an imposition on me. What message am I sending to those around me? And so ultimately where I'm trying to go here is you think about, you know, I honestly don't care if you take on or if you do personal New Year's resolutions. But I'm going to ask you that as you think about who you are, as you think about your spiritual relationship, as you think about the strength, your connection to our Heavenly Father, you know, A, are we strong and of good courage? Are we strong? Are we in a position of strength spiritually? Are we finding ourselves that we're getting closer in that connection, that passion that we have towards Jesus Christ? And are we the light of the world? You know, the exercise that some of our brothers were working on is, you know, we had to push ourselves and challenge ourselves to think about what is that message that we're trying to convey, and I'll just tell you, that we're trying to convey in the visitor center in Independence. What is that message that we're trying to convey of who we are, of who is the Church of Christ? Who are we? What do we represent? You know, ultimately, my sermon today is a sermon of hope, I hope. It's a message of who are we? That retrospect, that opportunity for us to look inside of us and see where are we spiritually? Where is our strength? I'm going to turn to John, the 10th chapter. I'm going to start at the first verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know, and I enjoy these verses, and I think about this. You know, I had an opportunity. We had the young people's over our house several weeks ago, and I used an example of this, and as I think about this verse, many of you have dogs. And many of you have dogs that you've worked with, you've trained, We have a dog that we didn't work with, we didn't train, but fortunately he came that way. And you can sit there and you can tell our dog, you know, Jazz, go get in your box. And my grandfather, Oldham, Kim will relate to this, you know, he had trained his dog to do this. Well, we never trained him, but he does it. You know, and you think about, you know, we had the young peoples there, and I asked one of the young peoples to say, Jazz, go get in your box. And a voice that our dog doesn't know, and they sat there and said, Jazz, go get in your box. And he just sat there and looked and wagged his tail and thought, you know, what's going on? And I share this example, but, and then I said, you know, Jazz, go get in your box. Of course he goes and he gets in his box. You know, and I share that example, you know. And to me, you know, it really reinforces this, knowing the Lord's voice. You know, I thought about the service, and as I think about, you know, the testimonies that I hear and the many mighty miracles that we've heard throughout all our life, I feel strong about the desire that we should have, that passion that we have to have for Heavenly Father, for understanding and knowing His voice and hearing that voice and listening. You know, our brother Joel read the scripture, and I'm not going to read it out of Timothy, but it basically talks about, you know, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. You know, and as I think about the verse, you know, I had an individual that I work with, and a young man who's new in our company, and he was telling me one day about a study that he does every day. I will admit, and one of my goals for this next year is to absolutely spend more time studying. For what ends up happening is I'm one, I get up early in the morning, I work all day long, I get home at night, and if we get time as family, some time together, and my wife will tell you, I go into my room, and I try to spend some time reading, and in a matter of minutes, I'm out. And I know many of you have experienced that, you know, but this young individual was telling me that in the church that he belongs to, he's in a study group. And I think it's a great idea, and it's a neat study group of what they're going through and studying. But he talks about how he spends time every morning, and it's a specific topic and some specific things that he goes through. And so I took that and I started using that and kind of took that idea. And I went out to our website and I looked, and we've got a number of really, really good classes and really good lessons. And you know, for me, I'm one that I'll struggle just to sit down and start reading through the books. But I had to find a different way for me. I had to find a different approach and a different attack. And so I started taking some of these lessons and using them and diving in and trying to understand some of the different topics and some of the different things. And it's no different than that exercise that we have to do physically. I took the boys with me to an exercise class that I go to. So I won't embarrass either one of them, but, you know, one got sick and one was just white as a ghost and was really struggling going through it. You know, it's the same in our spiritual lives. And, you know, ultimately that calling out to our young brothers and sisters here, you know, do we know the Lord's voice? Are we studying the Word? You know, I would tell you if I was Braden sitting there and looking up and hearing somebody preach saying, Braden, you need to study more, I'd probably look up at you as I was a young person and probably wouldn't have done much with that. And I'm just being honest. But I challenge you, young people, I challenge you to find a topic. Ask why. You know, we were talking about this last night, the why generation. This is a generation that's asking questions, asking tough questions. And you know, I can tell you that my own son isn't going to sit here and listen to me tell him, you're going to do this because I said. He wants to know why. This generation is pushing back on us, asking the question, not out of disrespect, but they're asking to know. They're asking to know with love and compassion. And I think as ministry, as leaders, as men, and as parents, I challenge each of one of us to answer that why. Don't just look down at our kids and think that they don't understand or they're not listening. I have a heavy heart. I walked away from camp last year concerned. You know, our kids, our youth, I say our kids, our young adults, they're asking tough questions. They want to know. And I think that responsibility falls on us as parents and as leaders to make sure that we're diving in and understanding and diving in to answer those questions. If you don't know, there's a couple of young brothers in our church that have started diving into a Skype on Tuesday nights. I'm thankful for that. I'm appreciative of that. I'm appreciative that our kids have that opportunity to connect with other people of their own age, their own peer group. And I think we have to encourage that, and we have to find that ability and that time to help encourage that and support that. Turn with me to Romans, the 15th chapter. Or I'm sorry, Romans, the 6th chapter. I'm going to start at the 15th verse. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal through eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, and as I think about those verses, and I think about that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, to our kids, they know that. To each of us, we know that, and we understand those phrases, we understand these verses, we hear this many times. But you know, I feel that personal challenge, I feel that personal opportunity of how I continue to drive that, how I continue to show that. We were talking earlier about some classes for camp that we're working on and some changes that we want to make. You know, and I think that kind of a common theme that we took away from, or at least that I took away from that conversation, is, you know, we've got to continue to introduce Christ. Who is Christ? What does he mean to us? What does he mean to our brothers and sisters? The purpose, our purpose of glorifying God. And how we continue to convey that message, whether it's to someone brand new that's coming into the church, that we're introducing the church to, or whether it's to our own children. I want to go to Mosiah, the 8th chapter, starting at the 77th verse. I love this scripture around this portion of the Book of Mormon, Mosiah, the 8th chapter. You know, this is Abinadi speaking. I love the story of Abinadi, and I'm not going to get into the story itself, but specifically dive in and really focus in on a few of his words. Again, I'm in Mosiah, the 8th chapter, starting at the 77th verse. But remember that he that persists in his own carnal nature and goes on in the ways of sin and rebellion against God, he remaineth in his fallen state, and the devil hath all power over him. Therefore he is as though there was no redemption made, being an enemy to God, and also the devil an enemy to God. And now if Christ had not come into the world, speaking of things to come, as though they had already come, there could have been no redemption. And if Christ had not risen from the dead, or have broken the bands of death, that the grave should have no victory, and that death should have no sting, there could have been no resurrection. But there is a resurrection. Therefore, the grave hath no victory, and the sting of death is swallowed up in Christ. He is the light and the life of the world, yea, the light that is endless, that can never be darkened, yea, and also a life which is endless, that there can be no more death. Even this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption, and shall be brought to stand before the bar of God, to be judged of him according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. If they be good, to the resurrection of endless life and happiness, and if they be evil, to the resurrection of endless damnation. And skipping down to the 89th verse, and now had ye not ought to tremble and repent of your sins, and remember only in and through Christ ye can be saved. You know, and it stands out to me, and again, not getting into the story of Abinadi specifically, but the words that he's saying. And now had ye not ought to tremble and repent of your sins, and remember only in and through Christ ye can be saved. You know, and that message just continues to reverberate in my mind and in my heart, and has been a message that has stuck with me for quite a while now. Is, you know, if we are to be that light, you know, if we are to be strong and of good courage, not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. If we are to have that strength, you know, there's a class at camp, and I our brother Riley reminded me of it earlier today. And it talks about, you know, what is your own personal identity? And I ask you, you know, you kind of think about that, you know, whether that's the logo that's on the side of my truck. Of course, that's not my own personal identity. But if you were to ask yourself that question, what is your identity? You know, if I look at any one of the young people, if I look at any one of the adults, what is your identity? I've seen our brother Hube. He's traveled through Iowa, and Hube and Louise have come and visited us. I know right away what is our brother Hube's identity. He's a servant of God. But, you know, as people look in my own life, are people going to know what is my identity? I ask each of you. You know, there's an exercise I think our brother Riley goes through, and Riley can absolutely correct me in this. But I know the exercise goes through, and he challenged some of these young people that took his class that sat through that to define what is your identity. You know, you think about it, and I think I've seen other exercises like this. You create a shield, and you write on this shield, you know, who am I? What do I believe in? What is that core piece of me? And I ask you, brothers and sisters, what is that core piece of each one of us individually? Are we working towards the betterment of our church? Are we working towards that service that we are to perform? You know, there's a lot of things that I love to set and get into the conversation with my sons on things that are related to church and things that are going on. I thought about a conversation that some of us brethren were having yesterday. And you know, it comes down to, you know, you have an opportunity this Wednesday night, and I'll put a personal plug in. You know, Wednesday night, you have your business meeting. You have an opportunity to serve. I'm not going to be here, and I'm not here to guilt anybody into anything. But you know, it takes active participation. It takes active involvement. There's a really neat little clip that I want to quote from our Apostle B.C. Flint. And within one of the tracts that we have in the church, it's the Principles of the Gospel, written by our brother Apostle B.C. Flint. And he wrote, I'm just going to read a portion of what he had. He said, therefore, repentance, rightly understood, will follow faith as naturally as night follows day. We cannot have gospel faith without repentance. You know, and my brother Adam stood this morning, and I was joking when I said, you know, Adam asked me what I'm going to preach on, and you know, at times we say, well, we're going to talk on sin, right? Don't do it. I told Adam that I'm going to preach on sin. Do it. You can't have active repentance without, and I'm only joking. That isn't true. But you think about what our brother wrote here, you know, and it's a pretty powerful sentence that he wrote. Therefore, repentance, rightly understood, will follow faith as naturally as night follows day. We cannot have gospel faith without repentance. And it really in my mind continues to reinforce that message of who are we? What is our identity? Are we letting our light so shine before men? He continues on to write. He says, another lesson was learned from this same experience. And he's speaking of specifically as he was driving past a state prison. He said, from the flagstaff on the big central tower of that prison floated the stars and stripes. Old Glory. And I thought, here over the heads of those 900 delinquents was displayed what to me and all law-abiding citizens of our country is an emblem of liberty. So, again, just to summarize what he's saying, here he is driving past a prison. He sees a flag up in the center of the prison and up high in the sky. And to you and I that are sitting here tonight, what does that flag mean? Freedom, liberty. And he continues on to write. But to those under its folds there inside of the prison, it was not an emblem of liberty. It was an emblem of power. And I thought of the contrast. God also can enforce obedience. He can enforce the repentance. But will he? No. He wants me to be sorry that I have done wrong. Not sorry that I got caught at it. He wants a godly sorrow for sin committed. And so as I think about that and as I think about these words, I challenge each one of us. Pick something in our life. Choose something to do differently. Choose something to do better. To address a sin in our lives, to address a weakness, pick a topic and continue to be that light. I cannot tell you what or how to do it. All I can do is ask, you know, recognize of the influence that we have of those around us. Recognize that the youth are not looking for thou shalt and let's push it down their throat. But our youth are looking for the opportunity to ask us challenging questions. They're looking for that opportunity to see that light that so shines around us. As a person, as a human, I am extremely weak. And I think of those times and I reflect back of those opportunities that I've had with my own boys of that example that maybe I've set a good example or maybe I've set a bad example. I'm thankful that I have an opportunity to ask of repentance. I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to look my boys in the face or my family or my loved ones. But you know, it's not enough of just that. While I'm thankful that we have that opportunity of repentance, I have no doubt that we're being called to a higher level. We're being challenged and called. You know, we face that trial. We face that temptation. We face those challenges in this life that we live. I think of that dream that I had and standing in between those two groups, knowing that there was good and that there was evil. And at a point in this dream, I was afraid. I was afraid of having to stand in front of that challenging group and to tell them and to defend my God. My prayer is that we don't have to be afraid to defend our God. That we don't have to be afraid to defend who we are. I want to close with a quick poem. It's titled The New Year. Dear Lord, as this new year is born, I give it to thy hand. Content to walk by faith what paths I cannot understand. Whatever coming days may bring of bitter loss or gain, or every crown of happiness should sorrow come or pain. Or Lord, if all unknown to me, thine angel hovers near to bear me to that farther shore before another year. It matters not my hand in thine, thy light upon my face, thy boundless strength when I am weak, thy love and saving grace. I only ask, loose not my hand, grip fast my soul, and be my guiding light upon the path till blind no more I see. Thank you.